My advice for entrepreneurs is definitely to level up with Shopify. The platform is just never a worry. Like, I have so many worries, but the platform is never one. I feel like Shopify really thinks about how they can optimize. It just always feels very ahead of the curve. Everything is just super easy to connect and link. They really know what we need. Time and money that is saved, I can spend on other things and on growth.
Start your free trial at shopify.com.
Ich bin Charissa und meine Empfehlung an alle Entrepreneure, startet mit Shopify erfolgreich durch. Ich verwende Shopify schon seit dem ersten Tag und die Plattform macht mir nie Probleme. Ich habe viele Probleme, aber die Plattform ist nie eins davon. Ich habe das Gefühl, dass Shopify ihre Plattform kontinuierlich optimiert. Alles ist super einfach, integrier und verlinkbar. Und die Zeit und das Geld, das ich dadurch spare, kann ich anderweitig investieren. Vor allem in Wachstum.
Jetzt kostenlos testen auf shopify.de.
I have acquired Kaiser, issue 237 to be exact, and it scares the hell out of me. I'm a collector, you see, of rare comics. Well, not really a collector. I never keep them for very long, you see. I prefer to sell rare comics and mundane comics for a profit. I buy them from Goodwill, garage sales, estate sales, anywhere I can buy cheap and sell high. I'm in it for the profit, pure and simple. But today, I may have found something I wasn't meant to own. Briarcliff Estates was having an estate sale, and I knew there would be some interesting pieces there. Mr. Briar had died at the ripe old age of 103, and he was said to be a notorious pack rat. His wife and son had died years ago, both under mysterious circumstances, and Briarcliff had gained an air of mystery ever since. It was said that his house was full of things, everything from antiques and collectibles to downright garbage, and I wanted to have a look. The sale was even grander than I expected. There were halls cluttered with antique furniture, shelves full of books, antique kitchen appliances, Persian rugs, strange art, and odd articles from around the world. All the trash had been cleared away, and all the items for sale had been tagged and were displayed. A large crowd had gathered, I saw, and I was more than a little interested in some of the books for my shop. The auction seemed like a total waste of time, right up until the last lot. The antique furniture went first, then the old cars from the garage, then the rugs, the appliances, and strange antiquities. Some of them were pretty grisly. Apparently, Mr. Briar had been a world traveller in his youth, and he had picked up things from Africa, Russia, Germany, and China, with an eye towards the occult. I actually found myself bidding on a wand made of pure ivory, something my Harry Potter fans might pay a lot for. But a stuffy old man in the front row shelled up 100 grand for it, and I sat down and shut up. He had long white hair and an imposing beard that hung down past the waist of his immaculate grey suit. He was a jarring comparison to the toad-faced guy with all the dark hair oiled to his head on the other side of the hall, and they seemed to know each other. No, and hate each other. They had several hard looks for each other as they held long and complicated bidding wars, and their battles bled over into the books as well. They snapped up most of the books, with old mouldering things, with hard-to-pronounce names, and my bids were mostly shouted over as these two duelled for the remaining tomes. Most everyone else had gone, seeing that these two meant to have the lot, so when the last lot came up, and it was a box of comics, I immediately threw out a bid of $25. I hadn't expected to see any comics here, my focus being the antique books, but this seemed to be the only two things that these two weirdos didn't want. The bid went once, twice, and then sold as the two glared at each other from across the room. I took my box of dusty old comics and scuttled off before either of them could realise I had been there. I didn't realise what I had until I got home. I took them to my office and set to work. First a shower, then a change of clothes. Old comics can be finicky, and I like to be comfy when I appraise them. Then the gloves came on. I have a nice set of reusable ones, latex, washable, and thick, that usually serve my purpose. I put on a hairnet too. Can't be too careful with old comics. After I was set, I opened the box and had a look. I was not immediately impressed. Mr. Briar, it appeared, had a thing for old Hanna-Barbera comics. There were some Yogi Bear issues, about 10 Huckleberry Hound issues, some Tom and Jerry comics, and a few Wacky Racer comics I'd never even heard of. I set those aside. Hanna-Barbera comics never retail very high unless you have some of the rarer pieces. They were all in bags though, and looked to be in pretty good shape, so at least I could ask asking price for them. Next were some old Johnny Quest comics that looked well used, and they also went to the side. Next came some, oh damn, old Detective comics that looked like they were from the early 40s run that were bagged and looked to be in great shape. I sat those on the desk by my computer. It looked like my purchases wouldn't be entirely in vain. There were some other things in there, some well-loved action comics, a few Batman issues from the late 60s, and a single issue of a comic series I'd never heard of. Sitting at the bottom of the box, in a plastic sleeve that looked to be caked with dust and maybe soda, I guessed, was a copy of Kazar the Amazing, issue 237. I had never heard of Kazar the Amazing, and he appeared to be some sort of magician detective or something. I was also unfamiliar with Keystone Comics, and decided to do some research. As I brought it over to the computer though, I felt a strong urge to drop it and just walk away. The comic felt weird, even through the gloves, and the bag was tacky in a way that soda usually wasn't. I don't know how to describe it. It was like the comic didn't want to be held. I shrugged it off at the time, but I can feel it now, too, as it sits on the nightstand beside my computer. It still doesn't want me to touch it. I looked up Kazar and found out that it was part of a debut series from Keystone Comics. Kazar was, in fact, the only comic series they ever put out, and it had a very limited run. Less than 500 issues of each comic ever came out, and they were extremely rare and not often seen at auctions. Issue 237 was actually the last issue ever printed before Keystone Comics burned to the ground in 1975. The fire was supposedly investigated and ruled as an accident, despite four people having perished in the blaze. Chuck Landstar, the owner and writer of Kazar, his assistant, Mike Dre, and the illustrators who worked on the comic, Jug and Dale Treblow, had been killed in the fire. The series had never seen the light of day again. Apparently, this issue had less than the usual number of runs. Even in its kind of ratty state, it was worth well over $1,000. Ka-ching. $25 for $1,000 seemed like a great deal to me, and who knew what kind of bidding war I'd get on this thing. I gingerly removed it from the bag and threw it away, as no customer would want it in that state. The comic itself was ragged, the spine bent, and some page corners damaged or missing. The pages themselves looked pretty good, old but good, until I got to a spot near the back. Towards the end, Kazar appeared to be casting some kind of spell to summon some ancient deity. He stood in the middle of a circle laid with etchings and stones and runes, and I could see quite a few bodies lying around as well. Some of them seemed intricate and embellished enough to make me think that these might be main characters he'd sacrificed, but I knew nothing of the series, so I could only speculate. There was a dark-haired woman in a slinky dress that barely contained her assets. A blonde guy with a loincloth and a skull helmet, what looked to be a kid in a red cloak, and some other, less buxom redhead that seemed to have died holding hands with the kid in the cloak. They were all laid out around the circle, and their deaths did not seem to have been kind. Kazar was kneeling, resplendent in his yellow and green robes as he made his request before a towering form in a horned helm. Its eyes were cold beneath the visor, and its green armor was stained with ancient blood. It sat atop a bone-white horse, steam curling from its nostrils, as it brandished the sword at Kazar that looked big enough to cut him in half. Kazar was making a request, but the words had been smudged. That figure on the horse didn't sit right with me. Even through the page, I could feel his regard. It was like he was looking at me, judging me, weighing my worth. I closed the comic. No sense getting spooked by some old comic, I told myself with a laugh. I took pictures next, showing some of the damage, and put it back in its protective bag. I uploaded the pictures to Comic Squire, the service I use to sell comics, and sat back to wait. I pulled some of the other comics I'd piled up towards me and started looking them up so I could post them as well. One of the detective comics was worth about $40. Cool. And another was worth about 30. Excellent, and I heard a ding from my computer and looked up to see that Kazar had an opening bid of $500. I typed a message to the buyer, someone named Nilrim, the E was a 3, informing him that I was firm on 800 and went back to my other comics. Two of the detective comics had so much hamster cage lining, but I saved them aside so I can put them with a bulk lot. Two more were worth $30, and I had just started looking up the seventh when my computer dinged again. I looked up to see that the same buyer was offering $800, the price listed for it, and I nodded and turned back to my work. The bid would sit on the site for an hour, allowing others to bid if they wanted, but I figured that this guy would get it, and I'd be $800 richer. I had barely gotten the seventh comic out of the bag when my computer dinged again. A new bid had come in for $1,000. I checked the buyer, and this time it was a new user by the name of Morgul. He was also offering an extra $50 to pay for overnight shipping. That made me raise my eyebrow, but I suppose he wanted to make sure it arrived undamaged. After all, this was a rare comic, and I sent him a message accepting his offer should he win. I'd barely sent the message when Nilrim came back with a $12,000 bid. This went on for the next few hours, and as the bids went up, the bidders began to message me. This is when it got bizarre. From Morgul. Dearest seller, the user Nilrim is trying to purchase your wares under false pretense. He's my rival and merely wants to own this comic so I cannot. I implore you to award the sale to me and ship with all haste. From Nilrim. I must ask that you not sell this piece to Morgul. He wants it not for its scholarly endowment, but for the power it would bring him. I must have this item so it can be sealed away from those who might use it for ill. Thank you. I furrowed my brow at this one. Sealed away from those who might use it for ill? It was a damn comic book. From Morgul. I see that you have not awarded me preference in this matter. Has Nilrim offered you something more in return for this item? I assure you, I will match whatever he makes, no matter the cost. That took me by surprise. These guys were clearly serious collectors, or weirdos, and they would likely pay big money for it. I didn't have to do anything. All I had to do was stay quiet and let these two drive up the price on their own. Simple economics. I had it. They wanted it. And suddenly, this ratty comic was looking like a cash cow to me. Even then, I hadn't realized the real value of the piece. From Nilrim. Please, I implore you not to be swayed by Morgul's boasting. If he gets that tome, it'll be devastation for our world. I implore you to sell it to me. Money is no object. Name your price and I'll pay it. I sucked air through my teeth, my small pile of potential profits forgotten. This fellow had basically written me a blank check. How much would be too much? He had said money was no object, but there was always a limit. I looked back at the sale and realized Nilrim had just placed a bid for $50,000. Morgul quickly countered with 60, and the two went right on, sparring as I watched. I pulled up Nilrim's message again, and that was when I realized that his profile had a picture attached. I clicked on it and realized that this guy was the same one from the auction today. His picture was of a grandfatherly looking man, long white hair and a beard that was downright Gandalf-esque. He was in his profile in the picture, just his head and shoulders, but I was willing to bet it was the same guy. This Morgul character was likely the other man, the one who looked like a toad and had been afflicted with all that greasy black hair. They were just continuing their antics from the auction, and I was surprised they had any money left after all the crap they had bought earlier. Another message from Nilrim came in, and it had a link at the bottom to a new site. From Nilrim. This must end. Morgul must not be allowed to own this spell. See what it wrought last time it was unleashed upon the world? The link brought up an article about the Briarcliff Estates. Four bodies had been found on the ground nearly 20 years ago. They had been arranged in the garden. The photos looking very similar to the ones in Khazar, minus the bodies. Those have been replaced with taped outlines, but their placement was undeniable. Briar's wife, teenage daughter, nephew and brother had been killed in what appeared to be a cult activity. Briar had immediately been the first and only suspect, but some combination of money and alibis given out of fear had cleared him. Still, his reputation in the community seemed to be well earned. Had Briar made a deal with that horned demon? had Briar possibly discovered something that led him to fill his hallways with junk in an attempt to insulate himself from whatever might come for him? I saw I had a message from Morgul, but his final offer was much less informative than Nilram's had been. The link in his message was of a Google Maps location. It was my address. His last message was much less formal and much less pleasant than his others had been. "I'm coming for what's mine. See you soon." I've been sitting in my office, writing all this down for the past hour. I've locked the doors and called the police, but they don't seem to be taking this very seriously. The numbers in the bid haven't gone up in an hour, and even though Nilram had won, I'm afraid he's never going to get what he paid for. I can see someone moving in the yard outside my window, but when I try to call the police, it just rings and rings. I don't know what to do. I can almost feel this comic watching me, even as whoever is outside keeps moving around out there. The sun will be down before long. I wonder if they'll find my body here, or by some circle, in a garden somewhere.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Ja, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Ich bin Charissa und meine Empfehlung an alle Entrepreneure: startet mit Shopify erfolgreich durch. Ich verwende Shopify schon seit dem ersten Tag und die Plattform macht mir nie Probleme. Ich habe viele Probleme, aber die Plattform ist nie eins davon. Ich habe das Gefühl, dass Shopify ihre Plattform kontinuierlich optimiert. Alles ist super einfach, integrier und verlinkbar. Und die Zeit und das Geld, das ich dadurch spare, kann ich anderweitig investieren. Vor allem in Wachstum.
Jetzt kostenlos testen auf shopify.de.